And so this morning, guys, once again, what a privilege to worship God with you. What a privilege to be in His presence together and to be able to just come together as family and to know that it is His love that that binds us together. And I couldn't help but think many years ago, my dad was in Gurries. He was Dominie there in Gurries for a couple of years. And my cousins would come and visit from time to time there in Gurries in the Makwaland. And then we would have little praise and worship services in the garage and sing and preach. And just amazing to see what the Lord has done. So it's also great to have my cousins here this morning. It's amazing, guys, to have you here in the house of the Lord. So welcome once again to all of you guys. I want to ask Gunther to just come and share a little bit around what the Lord has been doing in their lives in Live Village, just in terms of the incredible work that the Lord has done. They moved up to Live Village just outside of Durban. It's probably, 4.5, 5 years? Yeah, February 2016 they moved up. And just been amazing, the journey that they've been on. Some of you guys might be familiar with Live Village. Some of you might not. But we're praying about sometime next year taking a mission team up to Live Village. So I just asked him to come and share with you a little bit as to what the Lord is doing there. And also just to encourage our hearts a little bit, because I know that in our country today there's very little good news going around. And so it's important for us also just to have our faith stirred and also just to hear some of the amazing things that God is indeed doing in our nation. So over to you, bro.
Ms. Heinrich, me again. Well, what a privilege to be here, and I believe some of you have been to the village a couple of years ago. We had a team from this church. Can I see who you are? Some of you guys came, yeah, in the back there. Thank you very much. It's good to see you again. Some friends of ours have been to the village, and you're always welcome to come and visit and see what God is doing there. So as I prepared this morning, obviously I've got 5 minutes again, but I can't help but to read from Romans chapter 8. Because it's really about what the village is all about. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, if you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So really, the village is all about the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is really setting people free. It's setting the children free, the mothers free. It sets us free as believers. Many of us, we go there and we are on a mission to change the world, to change the lives of the children. And God has really been dealing with our hearts about operating from that spirit of adoption. So we've seen lives being transformed. We've seen children's lives being touched by the presence of God. And so the village really built on four pillars. Everything we do on the village are based on these four pillars. It's rescue a child, restore a life, raise a leader, and release a star. So we rescue the children from the grips of poverty and of shame, addictions, and then we restore them. And restoration takes time. And it takes us to be intentional with our discipleship. So that's why we felt in our hearts we can't go there for just 6 months or a year. We have to journey with these children. So in the process, we've seen the restoration taking place. Not by might, not by power, by the Spirit of God, and through the Spirit of adoption. So Live Village is a part of the solution in our nation. And I know that many of us are saddened by what we are hearing around what's going on in our nation, the abuse we see, the violence we see. But there is hope. I want to encourage us this morning, there is hope. And you can be part of this. You can be part of the revival. A few weeks ago, we had a time of fasting and prayer, and God reminded me of the song that I sang many years ago, in fact, in our church in Beaufort West, I think it was. It says, Lord, send revival, start with me. Lord, send revival, start with me. And I really felt broken in my spirit because our nation is bleeding right now. Do you agree with me? Our nation is bleeding. And in our brokenness, we can see restoration take place. So as I prayed and the spirit of travail came upon me, and many of our intercessors in the village were experiencing lots of travailing. I want to remind us today that you can be part of the solution through prayer, through intercession. So God will birth things in our lives and in this nation by you just taking your place in the Spirit and birthing things. Whether you're on the village, whether you're here or somewhere else, you can be part of the solution. So we feel that we are part of the solution, and we're also reaching out to our neighboring communities, and we believe in education, we believe in equipping young people. We've got a welding academy, we've got a culinary school, so we do a lot of life skills with our young people, and we see not only the lives of the moms and children being transformed, but also our neighboring communities being transformed. So it's about job creation, amen? We need to empower people to take this thing further. So I'm very excited to say that many of our children have been released. Just this last week, we released a young man to the UK, and he's going to be with Tim Hughes in the UK doing a gap year internship with him. And it's been an incredible, just a testimony of what God has done in his life. A worship leader, going around different places, songwriter, and he's now spending a month in Dubai and then a year in the UK. So that's what God can do if we say yes to him. All he wants is your yes and my yes. So the spirit of adoption is calling you, it's calling me, to release this thing in our nation. So, if you keep me along, I'm going to preach. But I just want to pray for us this morning that God will just stir something in your spirit. Give us close our eyes. We feel that God's going to stir something. Heavenly Father, we say thank you in Jesus' name for what you're doing in our nation. We hear about the negativity, we can see it. But Lord God, we know that the God we serve is greater than the enemy out there. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And as I was praying earlier, I just felt many of you have been gripped by the spirit of bondage. I saw the enemy lying to you, and you've been listening to his voice. I just break that voice in Jesus' name. I break down those lies in your life. I release you from the grip of slavery. I release you from the effects of the spirit of fear. We thank you, Father God, that perfect love casts out all fear. Like Heinrich prayed, we thank you for the foundations of love. Thank you that we are rooted and grounded in love. To know how wide, how deep, how low, how wide this love is. And so, Father, I pray for every person here this morning who have disappointment, who are afraid. I pray for the spirit of adoption to wake them up, Father God, on the inside. And in our brokenness, Lord God, we know that you can do wonders. In our brokenness, we surrender. So I say, Holy Spirit, come have your way. Touch every broken heart. As we read in Psalms, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, these, O Lord, you will not despise. So, Father, we say thank you for refreshing this morning as you said under your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's show the video, and Heinrich will take it from there.
There is a place in Durban, South Africa, in the heart of the KwaZulu-Natal kingdom. It's a place where, as the sun rises, you hear the laughter of children. It's a place of faith, hope, justice, and love. It's a place where our lives are being changed. It is our home. Live Village.
It started in 1997 when God gave Tich Smith, founder of Live, a vision to build a village.
A village for orphan and vulnerable children to have a safe home, a mother to love them, food to eat, a school to educate them, and where they come to know God as their Father in heaven.
Tich and his wife Joan Smith, who we call Baba and Gogo, works for 8 years in the Maoti Township, helping the community in so many ways.
There are over 5.2 million orphan and vulnerable children in South Africa, and 12,000 are added every month.
It was time to focus on the solution to this crisis.
In 2010, Baba Smith bought farmland just outside the community of Cottonlands near Durban.
He and Gogo invited 4,000 guests to a big banquet at the Durban ICC to share the vision of the village with government, businesses, and churches.
At LIV, we're focusing on the solution. If we put children into a home with a mother that loves them, I believe that the restoration of the family with Jesus Christ in the center is the solution to many problems we face in this country. If church, business, and the government continue to work together, we can put a roof over every child's head, give them a mother that will love them, will feed and educate them to the glory of God, and this nation will be changed forever.
On the 9th of August 2011, the first mothers and children moved into their homes and our story began. I have been rescued. I am being restored.
I am being raised up to become a leader.
And I am going to be released as a star.
From then on, the building of the village took shape.
Today, all 96 houses are built and ready. At capacity, LIV will be home to 150 mothers and 1,000 children.
Our LIV school has top education and sports facilities. Our creativity can flourish in our arts and music centers.
The ECD Center is a fun place for our little brothers and sisters to grow and learn.
The LIV Health Care Center provides us with social services, health care, and therapy.
Volunteer accommodations have been built for all the people who come to help.
Common rooms for Indlela and Beloved program, providing mentorship for all the teenagers on the village and also a place to have fun.
And at the center of everything is LIV Church, held in the LIV Multipurpose Hall, which is also a sports center and can fit almost 2,000 people.
Our Sunday services and Promised Land Kids Church are for us at LIV and our friends in our community.
Next to the hall is our office wing, reception, LIV shop selling all the cool LIV products, and LIV Culinary School.
So we're doing life here together, and we just see God doing so many miracles in the lives of the children, in the lives of the mothers, the lives of the workers, and even in our lives. Our lives have changed forever. We'll never be the same again since we've moved onto this village and we've lived with these children, we've lived with the mothers, we've lived as a community of believers.
An important part of LIV is to uplift our neighbors by creating jobs and providing skills developments at our LIV training centers.
I work at LIV since 2010. Working at LIV has changed my life. In my families. I work as a maintenance supervisor. I love working at LIV.
Baba Smith also knew that the village has to be self-sustainable to work for future generations.
LIV business provides for the sustainability as well as to create jobs.
LIV business is a 100% broad-based black-owned company, with us, the children of LIV village, benefiting 100%.
We already have many partners, and this is just the beginning.
It takes a village to raise a child, and we have seen many people partner with LIV, from businesses to churches to governments.
And also, sports stars, musicians, schools, mission groups, and individuals from all over the world.
In 2014, we launched our first TV advert with all our ambassadors. You can be one too.
Buy a LIV wristband from your nearest participating outlet. Support a child every month. Volunteer, raise awareness of funds.
LIV is change on a large scale. South Africa needs many villages.
We believe that if we work together, we can give each child in South Africa a home, and our nation will be changed forever.
Together we can.
All right. You guys excited? Yeah, always, always a joy for me to see this video. God reminds me of why we actually went to the village. It's about the children. It's about the vision. Just shortly want to talk to you guys about what we actually went there to do. So we became house parents, really. You've heard about the moms on the village. We have about 36 moms, roughly 200 children at the moment. But myself and Karen, we felt that we need to be a mom and a dad. Well, she was a mom, I was a dad. So, but the father figure and the mother figure together is what those children needed together in the house. And we could see that that was lacking. The family culture was lacking. And so we really felt that God wanted us to bring back that family culture. And was part of the restoration process. So we had probably, I don't know how many children in the house, two at a time, for about 2 months, 3 months at a time. And very intentional fathering, you know, parenting, mothering, homeschooling, and really just speaking life. And like Foundations 3 back in the day, we, you know, from Coastal Blessing, and just, you know, getting the children out of that spirit of slavery, transformation, identity. That's what it's all about. Once they know who they are in Christ, they're never the same. And that's what we find on the village. Once the spirit of adoption sets people free, they walk in authority. So, yeah, and the village is really expanding. It's really apostolic as well, like similar to Shofar, apostolic mission. So we've got a village in Johannesburg, Lanseria, Grahamstown. Cape Town is in the making, so we pray for Cape Town to be launched very soon. But we feel that God is going to really take this vision further and further as people partner with the vision. So I want to invite you to go online and have a look at what we do there. You can volunteer on the village. You can sow into the vision. You can partner in different ways. So, or you can come and visit and spend some time in the village. So, yeah, the village really is about solving the orphan problem in our nation. And it's about making that change one life at a time. And I want to encourage you guys to just pray for us. We have a church. We are a church. We meet on a Sunday as well. Right now we're meeting at 10 o'clock. We get to sleep in a little bit on a Sunday, which is amazing because the kids keep us awake at night. So having church at 10 o'clock is really amazing. We have about 400 members. So the children and the moms, the staff, volunteers, and people from our neighboring communities come to join us for church. And it's multicultural. It's amazing to see the Zulu people dance and to worship together. Our children are also in the band. They're part of the band. So it's good to see them being raised up and developed and then being released in different spaces. So Love Church is at the foundation of the village. It's at the center of the village. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to our nation, to the problem in our nation. And so we invite you to come and have, you know, visit us and just celebrate with us, because we believe that we are a city on a hill. And what God is doing on the village, God can do in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, and all over South Africa and around the world. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for having us here. Love you.
Awesomeness. Thanks, G. So this morning, I asked Gunther specifically just to share a little bit around what's happening at LIV. As many of you guys know, we had our conference, our convergence conference that we had recently, and it was an amazing, amazing conference. We trust that many of you are working through the audios and listening to the material as we continue to journey into this year. Shortly after the conference, what specific word came out that just encouraged us to, as we go forward as a church family, as we go forward listening and listening again to what the Lord shared with us at Convergence, that we make sure we don't get so busy with building the church and getting church activities going that we forget about the children. So there was actually a powerful vision about many of us together in a church building, and we're doing church services, and we're doing Sunday, and we're doing all the stuff that we normally do. And then all of a sudden, someone noticed, but the kids are gone. And when she got outside, she actually saw this person loading the kids onto a vehicle and wanting to drive off with him. And I think it was such a powerful vision, on the one hand, that just challenged us to be very deliberate in how we do church, to be very deliberate in how we do our spirituality, and to always think about the next generation, to always think about the kids, the little ones, physically and spiritually, were following in our footsteps. And so just the year what the guys are doing at LIV is incredible. Many years ago, around 2008, the Lord laid a similar dream, even before all of this started, on Pastor Fred's heart around the village. And it's amazing to see how that dream has, the seed of that dream has sown into many hearts. And right throughout Shofar now, we have so many couples that are fostering and that are adopting, and that is amazing. What's also happening now is that we've got Gunther and Karen up at Live. You would have seen Gibbethan there. He was one of our worship leaders in Stellenbosch for many years. My cousin, we've got Juan and Nita Kidd there. We had Ilana there. We had, I think, Arita as a former Shofarite as well. So Jan George and Christine, they there. So there's like a core group of Shofar people that God has just sent to Live Village, and there's this beautiful marriage that's taking place. Something so beautiful that's happening where God is really aligning our hearts. And I wanted just to stir your faith a little bit this morning to know that with God, all things are possible. That village started with a dream. That village started with a little seed of someone that said, I can't do everything and I can't change every child's life, but I can start somewhere. And they started somewhere. And I think that's the reality for us as believers. Nick and I, we're having this conversation. By the way, it's weird looking at my brother and I'm seeing things that he does that I'm doing as well. And so it's like weird. It's interesting. I've got to blame my dad for that, I suppose. And I distracted myself again. What was I saying, Lovey? We're having conversations, yes. And like I always say, you know, even when the conversations get heated, they are never arguments. They're just very intense discussions. But the discussion was around, why do we do Sunday? Why Sunday? And I think it's an important question that we have to ask ourselves as we are all sitting here and as we all come to Sunday, because you are spending quite a significant amount of your time sitting in a pew, coming and worshiping, coming to listen to somebody else preach at you, and we come and we share words and things. Maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours you would spend on a Sunday. Some of the guys that are serving a little bit longer, and depending on how long the preacher preaches. I'm trusting God that I'll be able to preach shorter and shorter as I grow. But we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Because there are a lot of other things that you can be doing. Why are we spending our time coming together? And I think for all of us, in the heart of hearts, is we want to be transformed into the image of Christ. We come because we understand that we want to become more like Jesus. And one of the ways we become more like Jesus is by coming together as a family. And there's this beautiful verse in 2 Timothy, and I'm not going to be long, I promise. 2 Timothy 1 verse 1 to 2 that I shared the Sunday of Convergence, and I know that I was up in Pretoria when I shared this, so I don't want to assume that many of us were able to listen to the audio. So I just quickly want to share one or two verses from what I shared there. And it ties in with what we were doing this morning. So Paul is ministering to Timothy, whom he calls his son in the faith. So he had this encounter with Timothy. He connects with Timothy. And we see Timothy being present through many of Paul's journeys. We see that Paul, when he's in prison, he longs for Timothy. So he has this very special relationship with this young man. There's this father-son relationship between the two of them, which is clear it wasn't a physical father-son relationship. So I want to encourage some of you just in that God's calling upon our lives to be procreative, to give birth, isn't just a physical calling. It is part of our spiritual DNA. It is how God has wired us to give birth to dreams, to give birth to God's purposes, and to be in relationships where we counter that orphan spirit, as Gunther shared with us. Because that orphan spirit manifests in the world outside with, what is it? What was the stats? How many million orphans do we have? 5 million? 5 million orphans that we have in our country. And that is a physical manifestation of that orphan spirit, which leads to a lot of other things. Prisons being overcrowded, gangsterism being rife, violence spilling over, dysfunctional families. So much of that can be traced back to the orphan spirit. But as we sit in this place, we have to be careful that we don't think the orphan spirit is a spirit that's out there. That it can be something that can have an influence upon us as well. And part of the reason why God calls us to come together as a family is because he wants to counter that orphan spirit. He wants to break that orphan spirit, because the orphan spirit says to you, you are alone. You are alone and you cannot rely upon anybody else except yourself. You have to depend upon your own wits. You have to depend upon your own resources. And you have to take what you can. Because you don't know when you're going to get something else again. But the spirit of sonship says, I'm not alone. I'm loved by my Father and I'm loved by a community. And Paul knows this and he speaks into this when he ministers to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. And so by implication, he's reminding Timothy as well. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So we see here that there are at least four different partnerships at play here in Timothy's life. Timothy grew up to be an incredible man of God, pastored thousands of churches, big churches and small churches, and was influential in continuing Paul's work and taking that work even to the next level. But Timothy wasn't a self-made man, and neither was Timothy only Paul's disciple. There was this whole partnership. And so when Paul walks into Timothy's life, there was something inside of Timothy already. There was a faith that came from his grandmother to his mother, and from his mother to him. And then Paul says to him, Timothy, I want to remind you of what is in you. In other words, I want to remind you of what you have received. I want to remind you of the fact that this work that God is doing in your life didn't start with you. This work was originated in the heart of God in heaven, and then he put things in motion. He brought people across your path. He set you up for divine appointments. He set you up to have encounters so that seed could be sown into your life. And not all of us, I'm thankful for my legacy, and I'm so grateful for the legacy that I and my brothers and our children are walking in, and our cousins. But I know that not all of us have that legacy, physically speaking. But that legacy has to start somewhere. My dad's legacy didn't necessarily start that way. He had to be first almost in a certain way to say that there are things in my life that's going to stop. I'm going to stop certain things and I'm going to start new things. And so whether you are Timothy this morning that can say, I can look back to a grandmother, maybe a great grandmother that loved the Lord. I can look back to a mom that loved the Lord and was praying for me. And by the way, later on in the year, maybe next year, get my mom and dad to come and minister on praying for your children and for your grandchildren. How they prayed me through my entire life and they pray our children into being and they're still praying for us. But whether it is your physical grandmother or your physical mother, there is someone in your life that had an influence on your life. There's someone that sowed a seed. There's someone that gave you an invitation. There's someone that prayed for you. There's someone that ministered to you. And I just feel in my heart that it is important for us this morning to stop a little bit and to think about the Eunices and the Lewises in our lives. Who are the people that have spoken into your life? Who are the people that have, whether they've just prayed for you, whether they've discipled you, whether they've mentored you, whether they gave you a meal, whether they invited you to church, who are those people? And in actual fact, I want to encourage you to make this week a week of honor. To think about those people, not just to think about them, to pray about them, to pray for them, and to thank them. Send them a WhatsApp, send them an email, thank them on Facebook, because the reality is that all of us are products of other people's influence in our lives. And whether you are Timothy that's on the receiving end, whether you're Paul that's ministering, the reality is that you can start something. You can one day be in a place where your children, your grandchildren can look back and can say, hey, I didn't have a great grandfather that served the Lord, but I had a father who served the Lord. There's someone that can say that I had a spiritual dad. I had someone who made a difference in my life and was willing to invest in my life. It's interesting, this whole thing about generations. We can just put that up there. There's a brilliant podcast that I want to encourage those of you guys who are interested in these kinds of things to have a listen to. It's called Reaching Millennials by Craig Rochelle. It's a Q&A that he has with a guy who's done studies on these things. But we know that we've got different generations as we sit in this building. We've got different generations represented here. We've got the Gen Zs, which are the kids of the Generation Xs. The Gen Xs, it's my generation. We also call the Lost Generation at one stage. But the Gen Xs are those 22, or the Gen Zs, 22, 23 years and younger. Okay, they're the kids being raised by the Gen Xs today. And they are the kids that are primary school, high school, just sort of getting into varsity and entering into the marketplace. They are a very outspoken generation. You would have noticed this week there was an article in some of the newspapers of this young girl that's confronting Donald Trump and all the G6, G7, the big guys, about the way they are handling climate change and all of those things. So it's a young girl that's taking on these massive people, and she's getting massive traction because this generation believes that anything is possible. This generation is a generation of possibilities, and they're thinking, what are the possibilities? They are possibility thinkers. The millennials are, in actual fact, older than what we normally think. We tend to think of people in their 20s to be millennials, but the conversation around millennials actually started 15 years ago. They started talking about the millennials. So the oldest, sort of the further end of the spectrum, the oldest millennials, sort of 39, 40 years old. Okay, so 1975 to 95, the millennials. The millennials are people mostly for whom the bottom line isn't just good enough anymore. They're thinking purpose. They're thinking, what's the value that this organization can give to me? They're thinking, what's the purpose? What difference is this organization or this company or this group of people making to us? They're tech savvy, of course. We understand that. They understand technology, but they also understand times before there was a cell phone. All right, the Gen Zs, they don't know what that looked like. The Generation Xs, of course, that's my generation, sort of from 42 to 55 years old. We survived the 80s, right? The AIDS pandemic and the all of that stuff, we survived entering into the 2000s, and we're still here, still strong. The interesting thing about the Generation Xs is that we are raising many of our generation. We're raising our own kids, and we're also, in a certain sense, taking care of our parents. A lot of Generation Xs are finding themselves having to think about their own kids. How will they train the kids? How will they love the kids? How will they raise the kids? Probably a little bit differently than the millennials have been raised. But they're also having to think about taking care of their parents. Right? The baby boomers are those born after World War II. Very stable, very solid, very loyal. Don't change work often. Don't deal with change well, but very loyal, very solid people. Okay? You obviously have different labels being put on people. Some of you, as you're sitting and listening to this, you'll be listening to this differently as well. Some of you will become fidgety. Some of you challenged in your attention span. Some of you can listen to me for 2 hours. And a lot of that has to do with the generation in which you grew up. Now, the Gen Zs also sometimes referred to as the digital natives because all they've known is digital media. They don't know anything before that. All right. So what the other researchers added there is the silent generation, right? The guys born before this, sort of after First World War, and just towards the end of the Second World War. So we do have one or two silent generations here with us. Okay, they're called silent generation basically because a lot of their voices are forgotten and a lot of their voices are ignored. But they're extremely important generation, because we need those voices, because they have survived much, and they are still faithful, and they're still serving the Lord. And the reason why I'm just giving you all of this is for you to, I'm trusting God that you will grow a heart for your generation, to think about your generation, to think about, why am I born into this generation? Why am I born within this time? Why do I have the resources that I do have available? But at the same time, to think about a generation before you and to think about a generation after you. And to make some effort to connect with someone that's from a generation before you and to connect with a generation after you. Amen? Can we commit to think and to pray over this next week about, number one, just thankfulness, honoring. Let's honor those who have invested in our lives. I don't have time for this. I'll maybe get to it at a later stage. But we as a Shofar Church family, so much of what we are having, what we're experiencing, is because of the legacy of the Dutch Reformed Church. The blessing, the sacrifice of the Dutch Reformed Church and the sister churches made. Revivals that came to South Africa because of the Dutch Reformed Church. It's important for church family like ours to understand we didn't fall out of the sky. We didn't get revelations out of the sky. There were sacrifices made before us. And we, if we are going to be what God has called us to be, we need to honor the generations before us. We need to humble ourselves. We need to thank them. We need to pray for them. We need to honor them. We don't have to agree with everything, but we can honor. Amen? We can honor. We can respect. We can value. Let's use this week. Let's honor. Let's thank. And let's connect as well. Let's be purposeful in our efforts to connect with one another. So in your workplace, you will, the silent generation, they're not working anymore. Most of them, some of them are, but most of them aren't working anymore. You will mostly find these three represented there. The baby boomers there, the Gen Xers, and the millennials. The Gen Zs are just sort of entering into the workspace now. Interesting thing about the Gen Zs, they are delaying adulthood more and more. What they call the traditional markers of adulthood. So they're staying at home longer. They're delaying things like getting a driver's license, getting insurance, and all of those kinds of things. Uber coming up, they say some of the statistics say that people will be getting the driver's license later and later and later. Things are changing. And we have to think, so when we have this baby dedication, we think about little Nathan. We have to think about the world that this kid is going to grow up in. And I want to say to us, and I want to appeal to us as a faith community, that one of the reasons why we do Sunday is because we are saying we are choosing not to do life alone. That's why we do Sunday. We are making a choice to say, I will not live in isolation. Because I can do my podcast, I can have my worship music on iTunes and on Spotify and all of those things. And you can listen to sermons much better than mine and you can be okay by yourself at home. But when we come together, we are saying we are valuing generations. We are prioritizing community. And in order for that to manifest itself, it means that we, each one of us, need to make a commitment to get connected again. By the way, the Gen Zs and the millennials, thousands of friends, and yet the loneliest generation. Because of so many things that are working in on their lives. So, baby boomers, Gen Xers, silent generation, please do not allow the millennials and the Gen Zs just to continue on their own. They need you. They need you. They need the lessons that you have learned. They need someone to reach out to them. As Baba Teach had to reach out to those orphans, we as generations need to reach out to one another. What would happen if we would be as intentional with one another in connecting between generations as Live Village is in connecting with the orphans? What would happen if we would be as intentional as they are? It took planning, it took resources, it took discomfort, and a miracle is happening. So part of the reason why we do Sunday is to say we are choosing to be connected with one another. So by the way, that's just something I took off the internet. I don't necessarily agree with all of that, so don't quote me on that. There's a lot of research being done on that, and a lot of those things many people disagree on, obviously. So some pros and some cons up there. Just interesting in terms of communication. So just some help, all right, as you communicate with one another. We've got something which we call who's coming to dinner. I want to encourage you guys, please embrace that opportunity. We have about once every 3 months. Embrace that opportunity to connect with a different generation. Ask, who's doing the organizing for us again? Christelle, please connect with somebody much older than me. Or much younger than me, all right? Connect. But it's interesting in terms of the way that we communicate. The silent generation, the traditionalists, they are all for one-on-one conversations. Face-to-face, much more formal in their communication. The boomers, they would prefer telephone call rather than just emails. Phone me, we can talk over the phone. Also still a lot of personal contact from a Generation X onwards. A lot more confident with technology, sending emails. The word irreverent there just basically means just a whole lot more forthright. Traditional structures aren't as respected anymore. So don't respect me to respect you. Don't expect me to respect or honor you just because you're the pastor, just because you're the president. You've got to earn it. That's sort of where, from a Generation X onwards, that thing started getting in. Millennials, very comfortable having tough conversations on text, Twitter. Everything needs to be fun and exciting. Vowels are going extinct. It's not being used anymore in some of their communication. A lot of stuff, instead of phoning someone, I'll drop a voice note, and you can listen to the voice note rather than have the conversation. Okay, so I just want to throw out little teasers for you to ask you to pray about the generations around you, because they are different than you. They think differently. And unless we're going to think about how the generations around us think, we will not be able to connect with one another. In a way, there is a spiritual generational apartheid in the church. The beauty, the strength, the tragedy of apartheid was that it managed to isolate people fantastically well. That we could live in the same nation and not know each other. I'm not talking about knowing of someone, really knowing someone. Getting into their homes, getting into their lives, knowing their hopes and their fears. There's a spiritual apartheid between generations. I'm trusting God we will break through. We will say we will not tolerate that spirit of isolation between us. We need one another. We need the older generation. We need the younger generation. Then I'm finishing off just something fun before we get too serious. So the way we would watch some episodes in the past, watching MacGyver, the Gen Xers, hey, and A-Team and all of that, you're like, darn, man, I've got to wait a whole week before the new episode comes again, all right? And nowadays, darn, the next season, it's not for another year, right? So instead of watching one episode at a time, you somehow go through a couple of episodes till you do the whole season. What they call that, a binge, eh? It's like the way they advertise. I'm not saying you do it. I'm just looking at you guys. But the way they advertise Netflix and Showmax, and are you ready for your next binge? I just watch the whole season all in one go, and then you've got to wait one whole year before the next one comes out. In the past, if there was a need for a newlywed lady to get some help, she would phone her mom. Mom would send a recipe. You come over and show her. Now you just ask Siri or Google or Bixby to help you. And in the past, there was quite a lot of issues and trouble with just the parents struggling to get the kids off the street. There was an ad, Benson and Hedges day-night game ad when I was growing up. Oh, Ma, it's a day-night game. You guys remember that? Yes. Generation wanted to be outside playing. Parents said, get in the house, go and bath, get in. Nowadays, you can't get the kids out of the house because they're playing soccer or cricket on their tablet. Okay. Within all of these changes, there's a tremendous opportunity for us. Because the church offers what each generation needs. Doesn't matter your age, all of us want to know that we are loved and that we have something to give. And I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that if you find yourself in a place of isolation, you feel alone, that the Lord will bless you with a spirit of courage to reach out to those around you. If you're in a place where you have received a lot, that the Lord will bless you with a spirit of selflessness, that you would reach out to those around you. So let us stand. I've got tons of other stuff that I wanted to share with you, but I believe the Lord has done what He wanted to do this morning. Can we go to the last slide, Carol? Let us close our eyes. Father, thank you so much, God, that we can know that this morning, Lord, that we don't have to live in isolation. This morning, Lord, as you have called us to be a church family, Lord, that they can love you with all of our hearts and can love one another. Lord, that we know that you put us in families on purpose. You didn't design us to live by ourselves, Lord. You didn't design us, God, to grow up without the love and the nurture of a family. And Father, I pray for the families represented in this room. I know that each journey is different. I know that each family's journey is different. I know, God, that for many of us in this room, we can look back and we can acknowledge a Eunice and a Lewis, Lord, who prayed for us, a grandmother, grandfather who prayed for us, and a mom and a dad who discipled us and who loved us and who raised us in the ways of God. And we thank you for that legacy. We thank you for the legacy that we have here in South Africa still, Lord, where we can come together like this because of previous generations who valued your word, who valued loving God. Thank you that we still have a God conscience in our nation, Lord. We still have an awareness of God in our midst. And we thank you for that, God. It is such a privilege to still be in a nation where we have the freedoms that we do have. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for those that are walking in their callings, Lord God. Those who feel a stirring in their hearts to make a difference because they know the difference that your goodness and your kindness has made in their lives through others. Thank you, Lord God, for that. Father, I also pray for those of us in this room who feel disconnected, who feel as if their family lineage is a wreck, and who feel as if they have been left to themselves, who feel, God, as if you have forgotten about them, who are filled with so much regret and feel that if only my family lineage could have been different, if only I'd received more, if only I'd known more. And Father, I pray that you would come this morning and that, Lord, that you would baptize each one of us anew and afresh with that spirit of adoption that Romans 8 talks about, God. That spirit, Lord, that awakens our spirits to cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, we come against the deaf and the mute spirit. Lord, that spirit that prevents our ears from hearing your words of love and affirmation that you speak over us. Those words, Lord God, that you speak over us that say that you believe in us, that you have placed greatness inside of us. There's this verse in Romans 9, verse 17, that's in my spirit for some of us. It says that for this reason I've brought you forth so that I can display my power through you. And my name can be declared throughout all the earth. And Father, I thank you that in this room, Lord, you have brought people forth for times such as this. We are alive because you have a plan and a destiny for our lives, God. And Lord, I pray a fresh baptism in that spirit of adoption. God, to come upon our hearts, Lord, upon our minds, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that we do not have to live as slaves. Thank you, Lord, that you are inviting us into a church family. Lord, you are inviting us, God, into a spiritual family that, Lord, is not bound by denomination and bound by a church wall, Father, but a living spiritual family. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Just as our eyes are closed, I want to ask that we would take some time this morning. And just in your heart, if you know that the Lord has spoken to you and in your heart, you know that you are a little bit isolated. You know that you have been cut off maybe from the godly legacy that you have received, the inheritance that you have received from a spiritual or physical mom or dad or grandpa or grandma who prayed for you, who trained you in the ways of God. And you know that you've drifted a little bit from that. You know that you are isolated spiritually. You don't have people speaking into your life. You don't have people who are encouraging you. You don't have people who are dreaming with you. You don't have people who are calling forth the greatness that God has placed inside of you. Then I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that God would lead you into a season of being regrafted into the vine, of being pulled back into his family. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, for those that you have led here, God, by name, those that you have called here, Lord God, for a moment such as this. As some of us, we're battling great decisions that we're having to make, and we're doing it all by ourselves. And I believe that God is wanting to just call you back into the safety of a community that knows you, a community who loves you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you know that's you, if you know that God is speaking to you, don't just want to raise your hand. You're a believer, you know Jesus, but you know that he's calling you just to speak to him again about being reintegrated just into a loving community, just into a family where people can speak into your life, where people can love you and you can be loved by them. He hasn't called you to be an orphan on the street. You live in a nice house, you don't have that many financial needs, but just as there's been a woundedness that came against you, wanted to lie to you, say you are not welcome. And the Lord wants to break that over you this morning. If that is you, don't just want to, while our eyes are closed, just want to raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else in this room, just in this in this atmosphere of peace, and you're under no pressure. Thank you. If you raise your hand, you can drop it again. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to trust Jesus to bring you back into a family. And He will show you where that family is. But you have not been called to live alone. It's not the way God has designed your life to be. And He has prepared a home for you. One more time. Is anyone like that this morning? You know Jesus. You love Him. But you also know that He has called you to walk a closer road, just with the generations around you. And then if there's someone here, you know that you are at your heart still an orphan. You don't know the love of Jesus. You've not come home to the Father yet. You have not come into that place yet where you know the Father's love. That He loved you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. It's not about becoming religious. It's about accepting His love for your life. Surrendering your life to Him. And this morning you want to say, I want to come to the Father's love. Maybe I've drifted, but I want to come back to His love. Each one of us has to make their own personal decision. No generation, doesn't matter how amazing that generation is before us, can make the decision for us. We have to make it for ourselves. Say, God, I'm surrendering to Your love and to Your purpose for my life. Is there anyone like that this morning? I ask you to raise your hand as well. I want to pray with you as well. Anyone like that? I want to ask those who raise their hands, if you would be so bold as to just come to the front. I want to ask my mom and my dad, I want to ask Uncle Dave, Auntie Lynn, if you could come, some of the older generation, just to come and pray with some of us who have raised our hands. And some of you here, you just actually also need a mother's hug, a father's hug, just as a point of contact for the Father's love for you. You haven't been hugged by your dad ever since you can remember. By your mom ever since you can remember. I want to invite you to come. We have communion on my right hand side, your left hand side. If you are not coming to the front right now to be prayed for, then I want to ask you that if you know that your walk with Jesus is an intimate one, and your sins have been forgiven, no unforgiveness, no bitterness in your heart towards anyone else. I want to invite you to partake of the communion. There's bread there, there's wine there, juice. Go and help yourself, come back to your seat. And I'll pray over the bread and the wine. And those that we have asked to, who have responded, that you would come, we would love to pray with you. So as the people come to respond, the rest of us, we can go to your left, my right. Go and grab a piece of bread, some wine. Maybe just take the hand of someone and say, man, can we just pray together? Can we thank God? Chat to someone. I'm going to thank God this morning for doing so and so, but for my God kasasi gegee. Taught me the ways of God. Taught me at Sunday school. I want to thank God for Fred, Pastor Fred, or Pastor Lucille. I want to thank God for my mom or for my dad. You would thank God for that. And that the Lord will show you how you can invest in the generation that came before you, generation that came after you. So the floor is open. Get some communion. Pray with someone. We want to spend some time just ministering to some people. So if you raise your hand quickly, we want to pray with you. We're going to be 5 more minutes and then we're going to dismiss the service. I want to invite all of you to fellowship with us a bit. Communion is open for everyone, so don't feel you have to be a very special believer to partake of the communion. If you need prayer, please come. We are here. We would love to pray with you.